You're listening to a podcast series from Vietcetera Production.
Cảm ơn HBV Việt Nam đã đồng hành cùng Vietcetera cho lối sống từ chối rủi ro, sống lành chủ động.
Xin chào các bạn đã quay trở lại với chương trình The Money Date. Ngày hôm nay lại một lần nữa chúng ta có một vị khách rất là đặc biệt. Vị khách này vừa là bạn của mình, vừa là đồng nghiệp và sếp của mình. Thôi không để chờ lâu nữa, ngày hôm nay chúng ta có CEO của Vietcetera, Hảo Trần. Là Hảo nha mọi người, Hảo với dấu hỏi chứ không phải là Hảo. Phần lớn thời gian mình và Hảo đều nói chuyện bằng tiếng Anh, và Hảo cũng thoải mái nhất về tiếng Anh, nên là hôm nay chúng mình sẽ nói chuyện bằng tiếng Anh để mà khai thác được khách mời một cách tốt nhất. Nhưng mà lời đầu tiên thì I'll let you introduce yourself to the camera, and in the introduction you have to use the word money.
Xin chào mọi người, tên của bạn là Hảo, CEO của Vietcetera, và bạn là ở bên Việt Nam gần 8 năm rồi. 8 năm, trong 8 năm làm công ty Vietcetera là cũng khó, mà rewarding, tiếng Việt lý. Không làm nhiều tiền, năm này vì năm mới, suy nghĩ là công ty là phát triển cũng tốt, làm nhiều tiền hơn, và công ty là bự hơn, có 60 nhân viên, mà... Hopefully this year will be better. Let's see.
It's quickly becoming a pitch for me.
I'm just speaking on top of my head. And sorry, everybody. I do speak Vietnamese. I speak with a Hue accent. It's not very easy to listen to, especially if you are not used to it. Mm-hmm. And I use vocabulary that is also from like the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. So my parents, they left Hue around the 70s. And the way that they speak, they use words like phi trường instead of sang bay.
Okay.
They use words like nhà thương instead of bệnh viện.
Bệnh viện.
So I remember when I first came to Vietnam, I would see bệnh viện everywhere. I was like, what is that? And then I realized modern day Vietnamese, the language has changed and evolved so much.
Yeah.
And my parents say that also Vietnamese today, they consider it very casual compared to when they were growing up, where it was more formal. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means exactly.
No, I mean, I think the language like evolves all the time. Even for someone like me, coming back to Vietnam and seeing all the changes that happened, it's hard to keep up. Mm. But I think like through the work at Vietcetera and through meeting young people and getting like involved in different communities, that's how you pick up like these developments and these changes in the language. I posted a story on Instagram asking my followers who I should have on the show, and your name came up quite a few times. Why do you think people are curious about you and your story in terms of finance?
Well, I think you know, a lot of our audience on Vietcetera, and I'm sure the Money Date too, are young working professionals. They're getting their career started. They're thinking about how to save, to invest, and how to build better lives for themselves as well. And of course, money is one way to do that. And all the time people are wondering, like, what's the story of the people behind Vietcetera?
Yeah.
And of course, through like the Money Date and Have a Sip with Thuy Minh, you get to feel like, you know, you're having a coffee chat with the people that work here.
Yeah.
And Vietcetera, and with me at least, of course I have my podcast, but it's a bit more, you could say, formal or strictly about business. It's not really about lifestyle. So a lot of people do wonder, oh, who are the people that started Vietcetera? Why? How are they doing? You know, Vietcetera seems to be doing so well. Are they doing well? And, you know, I can pay the rent, right?
Yeah.
I can enjoy some luxuries in life too, but or comforts. That's a better way of putting it. I'm not very luxury kind of guy, I guess. But yeah, people are curious because they also want to know, hey, when I'm 31, so I'm 31, what will my life be like? What do I have to do at work to have similar experiences as the hosts and the people behind Vietcetera?
Yeah.
And I tell people, without going too much in detail, there's a lot of luck involved, but you also make your own luck. If you put yourself around good people, some things will eventually happen, and requires a little patience as well.
Yeah. I mean, before we get into the details of that, there's a little bit of a challenge for you. So I've prepared around 5 to 6 rapid fire questions, similar to, you know, Vietnam Innovators. How is the host of Vietnam Innovators one of the longest standing shows of Vietcetera. I think these are some juicy questions. Mm-hmm. So you have the option of either answering them or you can pay up with the stack of cash that you have on the table.
Okay.
But these questions are meant to, I guess, are meant for the audience to understand a little bit more about where Vietcetera is financially, where you are also financially. You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
How much did Vietcetera make in 2023?
Around 2 million US dollars. So it's close to 50 billion dong.
Okay.
Which is lower than 2022. Not too much lower, but is lower.
Is Vietcetera profitable?
This year, there's a small chance of a little bit, but we will most likely break even. Okay. We won't lose money, but we'll break even.
Who is the biggest client of Vietcetera in terms of spend ever?
MasterCard.
How much do you make per month as the CEO of Vietcetera?
I can't share that one, but I can tell you the story of my income, how much it's gone up.
Okay. Yeah. So, how about we get into that after the rapid fire questions?
Yeah.
Okay. So we still don't know how much he makes as a CEO of Vietcetera. We'll find out. I'll try to find out for you guys. Are you a millionaire in US dollars?
I can't.
That means yes. How do you say personal finance in Vietnamese?
Oh my God. I should know this. I feel like.
How do you say finance in Vietnamese?
Tài chính.
And how do you say personal?
I actually don't know.
Cá nhân.
Cá nhân.
Okay.
Cá nhân, tài chính.
So it's tài chính cá nhân.
Oh, tài chính cá nhân.
Yeah. That's how you say personal finance in Vietnamese. So that's it for the rapid fire questions. There are still some unanswered questions that we're trying to get to. So getting here, accepting a job that pays 6.5 million per month, how long did that go on for until you were like, oh, I need to make more money?
I had saved money up already. So when I went to Vietnam, I knew that 6.5 million could pay most of my expenses already. Mm. So imagine like anyone living in Saigon or Hanoi or anywhere in Vietnam today, you have a budget. So you allocate, in my case, I think I actually paid more in rent than my income. I paid 7 million just because I wanted my own room and bathroom. So I was willing to pay a little bit more. So I paid 7 million for that. And then to get around, I think I budgeted like 2 million, if I recall, 1.52 million for a bike. And then for food, I can't remember exactly, but do the math. For breakfast, maybe you just want a coffee and maybe that's it, not even any food. And then lunch, anywhere between 50 to 100,000. And then dinner was the same. So basically 300,000, let's say maximum.
Yeah.
And that's a lot already. Mm-hmm. So I think I paid 2 to 300,000 for food a day. But anyways, all in, it was something like 10 to 12 million a month. So I was already running a deficit.
Yep.
But I knew because I had savings from the US that I could cover those costs. Mm-hmm. So I was willing to burn through my savings for 1 year to have a different experience. It's like going to have like a mini MBA, I guess you can call it, not even an MBA, a mini bachelor's degree,
whatever. Sure.
Master's degree.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, 1 year experience in Vietnam, very unique opportunity through venture capital. Mm. But I could also find side hustles to make extra income. Mm-hmm. So I remember I did a lot of different things to just make side income. Mm-hmm. I remember I was paying rent for a few months, but then I ended up actually renting my own place and doing Airbnb. And that paid for the rent. Mm-hmm. So I actually made money off Airbnb. Mm-hmm. So income plus Airbnb, I ended up making, I don't even remember, like 15, 20 million a month probably.
Okay.
And I remember I actually hired another intern at 500 Startups to actually be my Airbnb manager. So I gave him free rent because I rented a 4-bedroom house.
Oh.
So I lived in one room. Mm-hmm. Then I would Airbnb 2 rooms, I think it was. And then he would live in the third one, but he would be in charge of managing the property. So I actually, everyone kind of won, right? Like we all both got free rents and I made income by betting, paying like the bigger rent costs. And at the time, doing Airbnb like that was actually very feasible. Now, I think it's quite difficult because of the competition.
Yeah.
But back then, there were very few Airbnbs in Vietnam.
Yeah.
People weren't doing it yet. I did Airbnb in San Francisco too.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother story. I remember people would make fun of me. Like, I rented a 2-bedroom apartment It's extremely expensive in San Francisco. I paid $90 million a month for an apartment. So I rented one room for myself, and then I rented the second room on Airbnb.
Yeah.
But then in the living room, there's like a space where you can put like a table or a sofa.
So you sectioned that off?
Yeah, I put a bed. So I called it the Nook.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, you know, you go to a friend's apartment and they don't have another room, but they have a living room. So you stay in their sofa or something.
Yeah,
just imagine that.
Okay.
But instead of a sofa, I put like a proper bed. And because I worked at Hotel Tonight, which is an online travel agency, it's like a Traveloka, an Expedia, that kind of thing. I actually knew what the hotel rates were. So I can go through the data and see when it's expensive and when it's cheap. And I remember in San Francisco, like Monday through Friday is very expensive because of business travel. And then some parts of the year, like harvest season, that's when wine country is like the destination everyone wants to go to. Amazing weather, you can try the newest wine vintages. Mm-hmm. And it's only an hour from San Francisco. Or when there were big events. It's like in Vietnam when they had the Blackpink concert in Hanoi, like the hotels went crazy, right?
Yep.
And I remember I would actually rent out all three on Airbnb sometimes. My room, the second room, and the Nook at the same time.
Where would you stay?
I would go back home to live with my parents.
Amazing.
And then, I would make a lot of money. Mm. And there were some months where I was actually making like basically hamlamju, mamuju in profit living in San Francisco. Because I knew how to position the rates.
Yep.
And I remember it didn't happen all the time, but when I rented all three rooms, it was when the demand just went crazy in San Francisco. Like all the hotel rooms were selling out. And I remember I checked in all three guests and they were kind of confused at first. They were like, so where are you? I was like, yeah, I'm gonna be down the street. And then, but all of them were so thankful because they just had a clean place to sleep.
Mm.
And they knew that they had a private room, not the whole apartment.
Yep.
So they were going to share. And yeah, they just like, you know, sleep there. That's it. They wouldn't like hang out there. They just like show up, sleep,
and then
go out for work. And I remember one of them was so happy. They were like, how, you know, I booked this room 2 days in advance of the event. I'm so happy I found it because it was the only one left.
Mm.
He paid like $15 million a night because he said it was the only thing left and his company would pay for it. So he's like, well, I need a place to sleep. So I got
sure.
Yeah. I used to hustle like crazy to make any sort of money. So. Yeah.
And I feel like you still kind of carry that energy now.
I think a little too much. I need to like remind myself that, you should try to work hard and make money, but you can't like do everything.
Yeah.
That's why you have a team, or that's why there's only 24 hours in a day. You can only make money so many times in a day, right? It's a lesson of also balancing what you're capable of doing.
Because
like something like Airbnb, it's very hands-on.
Mm.
But there are ways to make money like passively. You can invest in stocks, you can invest in cryptocurrency, you can invest in anything.
Anything.
Like,
yeah. So when it comes to Vietcetera, do you remember the first brand deal that Vietcetera had?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what that amount was and what that meant for you and for the company.
So if I recall correctly, it was within the first 6 months of the company starting. It's a specialty coffee shop. But I remember they wanted to pay us 5 million dong to prepare an advertorial, basically an article that we would write, take photos, and publish on Vietcetera.
Mm-hmm.
And when we first got the deal, I was quite excited because I was like, this is validation of our business providing value.
Yep.
People are willing to pay. So me and my co-founder at the time went out to do the article. So he would take photos and I would write.
Yep.
We would interview them and then publish it. The process is usually you publish, then you get paid. In this case, they actually agreed to pay us right after we finished the interview. And we were so surprised, being like, oh, awesome. God. So we can get the payment today.
In cash?
So they provide us the envelope and it's like, okay, it's pretty thick. It's got money in there. I open it. It's a voucher. And I was so angry.
It's but like a barter deal.
Yeah, but I didn't want to like express the anger. So I was kind of like, hey, I think there's a misunderstanding. Like our texts say 5 million. Mm-hmm. It didn't say 5 million cash or 5 million voucher, but it said 5 million. And you would think that's cash. right? It's like hiring someone. If you offer them a monthly salary of 5 million, but then at the end of the month you're
just giving them meals,
coffee, it's yeah. like, what the hell is going on? So after just a little back and forth, you know, they were explaining like, oh, well, you know, you can use it for this and that. It's like, no, we need money. So after 10 minutes or something, they gave us cash. That was also a lesson in like making sure people don't take advantage of you, but also just setting clear expectations. Because, you know, if I had accepted 5 billion voucher, we wouldn't have any misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Because that's the agreement.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, it's about what you agree and then just do it. So it's cash or voucher, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lesson in just being clear and also having documentation.
Mm-hmm.
Like Vietcetera today, because we deal with contracts that are, you know, 1 billion, 2 billion, you need to have proper contracts. So you, everyone agrees,
yep.
it's stamped, you pay tax,
mm-hmm.
done. And then no questions.
Yeah. And then how long did it take for you and your co-founder to go, oh, like there's something to be made out of this business and we should grow it more. We should expand into other verticals. We should do more.
Mm-hmm.
So how long did that take?
It took a while. I think content businesses, it's not very easy to make money because you have to invest so much in the beginning and then you can start making any money.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put out a lot first. Other kinds of businesses, you can budget more properly. You can do pre-sales, these kind of things. But in general, it took us about a little less than a year to realize that this business has potential and we can actually make a living off of it. Because
mm-hmm.
when we started, we didn't think of it that way. I know that sounds weird to say.
Like it was still like a passion project for everyone involved.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think if I started it thinking it would be like, we're going to make $1 million in the first 12 months. Well, one, that wouldn't have been possible. But number two, that takes a different type of business planning mm-hmm. and approach to your passion.
Mm-hmm.
Like today, when I think about business, I want it to be sustainable. I want it to make money from day one, like profit from day one. Or if you choose to just invest, you can kind of plan when you can get your money back.
Yeah.
But Vietcetera had no plan. We just kind of like just made content, got audience, and then eventually started making money.
Yeah.
But it took us a long time to really be robust. Today, we have a lot more sophisticated planning, budgeting, so we're much better about that today, thankfully. 5 years ago, let's say, even 4 years ago, especially because of COVID too, you can't plan anything. I wouldn't do that again, though. I wouldn't just start a business with very few expectations. I think having expectations is good
mm-hmm.
so that you can set milestones for yourself, being like, hey, this is what I want to achieve. If you don't do any of those things, just know that what you're doing could just be a passion or just treat it like a hobby. It's not actually a career. It's not actually a business. And that's okay too.
Yeah.
There's no problem with that.
Yeah.
And how do you have both though? And I think it does require some planning.
Yeah.
I think though, I wouldn't start Vietcetera again knowing everything I know today just because the business is tough to run a media content business. I get a lot of joy out of it and we have it today and we make millions of US dollars in revenue, not profit.
Yeah.
So we have something, so let's keep building.
Yeah.
But to like start a content business today, it's extremely difficult. Even people think like the influencers and content creators, they were like, oh, I want to live their life too. And I'm like, no, you don't. it's not as easy or glamorous as people say.
For sure.
You have to actually really love what you do. That's number one. And mm-hmm. I'm sure most content creators do, which is great. But usually a lot of the time, like independent ones, they get a lot of free things.
Yep.
They don't actually make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. And two, it usually just takes a lot of time. Of course, there are people that fall out of that anomaly. They're very successful and that's mm-hmm. awesome. But I would tell young people too, it's not like content creation is like super glamorous and you can make a ton of money. It's just like any other career.
Yeah. So. You have to put in the work.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to content creation or just content business, it may seem like it's easy to get into it because I mean the entry level is not that high. I mean sometimes all you need is like a blog or a social media account and then you can start making content. But I think what Vietcetera is doing is a little bit, it's obviously on a much more grand scale. Yeah. Like, you know, you run a business with 60 people and you have teams and you work with so many big clients. And I think like managing all of that is totally different from like, let's say an individual wanting to create content. So going back to that journey, you know, like when I first met you in 2018, when Vietcetera was kind of just a block really. And then when I joined Vietcetera in 2022, when it was just this huge, like, young digital media company. Do you remember that inflection point for Vietcetera where it like went from just a block to like something much bigger?
There were a couple of milestones. One was when we decided to make Vietnamese our focus language. That took some time. I believe it was early 2019. The second big milestone was hiring a professional who had experience doing media or content in Vietnam. Because we had a lot of young people, and yes, they're professionals too, but they're not like leaders.
I wonder who.
Yeah, well, that's Thuy Minh. So she joined September 2020. And at the time, we had a good brand and media already, but because we didn't have that expertise locally, like actually doing it before, we had challenges about developing like really iconic content that's mass and viral. And so anyway, she joined, and basically right after that, we launched a few podcasts. So Have a Sip launched, Vietnam Innovators launched, and a few others after that too. That was a really big turning point. So in addition to the Thuy Minh was the launching of podcasts. So that one was interesting and a good lesson in business too, because people follow trends. You see someone doing a video, okay, you'll do a video too. But we saw that there was a gap in the market for different types of formats of content. And in our case, we decided that podcasting and audio was one very big missing piece of the content business in Vietnam. Anyways, those were some big milestones. And I think in 2023, at least, and going into 2024, we see a lot of potential to develop like IP, develop franchises around the shows that we make, the content that we create. Because it's not just about creating articles and shows just because. You build an audience, you make revenue. It's about building something that people want to be part of, like a community, a dialogue, and how do you make money around that? You can, like even this show, The Money Date, it's yes, it's just a podcast today, but it could be something more. It could be event series. It could be different types of content, like 1 minute shorts, documentaries, movies. I don't know, I'm thinking really big right now, but yeah, you think about all these different types of content and why not? And of course you have to take it step by step. And the podcast is one great way to do that because it's always on. People can listen to it anytime. You publish one or two times a week and then you have a constant voice. But now that you have that constant voice, what more can you do with it? I think a lot of content creators think about that too. They try to do merchandise. They do these like fan meetups. Some of them have even gone on to like make Netflix shows, for instance. So there's a lot to do and think about. I just had a meeting with Thuy Minh and some folks at the company yesterday about, okay, a show like Have a Sip. The brand itself is what makes it, not the fact that it's just a podcast. The podcast is just one piece of it. Can we do a series of events that people want to attend and pay tickets for? Do we want to make merchandise like cups? Like we've tried it before, but it's never been that interesting. So we want to take it up another level. So how do you think bigger than just a podcast? Because the thing is, since we launched podcasting, everyone's doing it now. There's so many. And you know, some do it quite well, some don't. But eventually, if we don't innovate, someone will probably start to creep up on us.
So are you getting paid now as the CEO of Vietcetera?
Well, I can talk about my salary history. When I graduated and then my first job, again, this is US terms, I think I made 75,000 US dollars. So that's about So if I were to localize that salary in Vietnam, it'd probably be around, just accounting for like rent, expenses, and food, probably around 20 million, I would say. I don't know exactly, but something like that.
20 million a month?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I was making the same thing in Vietnam.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then I increased that over time. But then when I started in Vietnam, I made 6.5. Mm-hmm. I did that for 1 year. And then there's about 2 or 3 years where I made no income, like zero. But I would take profits from the company. So I'd occasionally pay myself like, okay, 3 months I'd make zero, but then 1 month I would make 50 million.
Okay.
Because we made some income so I could pay myself.
Yeah.
I didn't make a regular income until about, I think it was 2020, early 2020. I started making 55 million a month. Mm-hmm. And then I stayed there for probably about a year, I think. Mm-hmm. And then 2021, I increased very large amount. So the company started making a lot of revenue. But when I run the company, there's two sources of income for me. There's the salary, and then there's the profit.
Commission.
So commission, basically same thing, bonus, right?
Yeah.
So salary, I started paying myself a salary because in a real company, you should recognize that, hey, if I were to hire a CEO for Vietcetera, how much would he or she make? Mm-hmm. So I should pay myself that same amount, basically, to recognize the actual value I bring as a CEO. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then there's like commission, bonus, profit, / dividend, this amount. So that changes. Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten that for about a year and a half because the company's not done amazingly.
When I
said it earlier that we break even, yes. And that's still with paying me a salary. So it's not like I'm making zero.
Yeah.
So I get paid a salary. You know, everyone gets paid a salary, all the expenses are paid, then we net break even.
Yep.
Do we make a profit after that? Yes, some months we've made a lot. Mm-hmm. Some months we've made a loss because of the economic situation. But at least for this year, we'll basically break even or maybe a small profit. Mm-hmm. But it's not enough for me to draw a dividend. So I'll just keep it in the company. I can't justify pulling it out. Mm-hmm. And what happens, let's say, in mid-2024, the economy sinks or we lose a client. Mm-hmm. And then what happens after that?
Yeah, what happens after that?
Yeah, then I had to put more money in. So I just had to take it out of my own wallet and put it back in. So I'd rather just keep it in the company because it's a large amount, but it's not like something I can suddenly like go buy a car with or an apartment. So it's not enough for me to like do an action.
But are you looking to buy an apartment here?
No, I've decided I'm not. Actually, my position on real estate, I'm not a fan of it at all. I've tried it. I say this because I've tried it. I have a house in Los Angeles and I just do not like taking care of it.
Okay.
I always have negative feelings whenever I think about it. So I actually make money from it.
Yeah.
And I'm preparing to sell it and I'll make money too. Mm-hmm. But I just don't want to
think about it. It doesn't bring
you joy. So it's just not worth it. Yeah. So just don't do it.
Hey, it's good that you like recognize these feelings and realize that it's not for you.
Yeah, you know, people say there's two types of making money. One where you really enjoy and one you don't like it at all, but you still make money. I disagree. You shouldn't do anything you don't like just to make money. I think that's just completely negative because you have to think about something you don't enjoy to make money. I don't believe you should do that at all. You should have some sort of enjoyment where you feel like you're really engaged. Like if I were really passionate about real estate, I'm always doing research, or I should be always doing research, talking to people, thinking about that next second house, but I don't think anything about that. So I'm just like, this is literally just for money, and it's like destroying my time, like an effort. Yeah. So I just want to get rid of it.
So instead you like spent money, or you invest your money into like F&B businesses. I know you know, you run F&B businesses, and that food is something that you're very passionate
about. Yeah, I have a hospitality background, so does my family. So I've always had that in me. So that's why I enjoy doing that, and it makes some money. And then there are, like, I follow current events a lot, and I like to follow new innovations and trends. So that's why I might invest in very liquid assets like cryptocurrency or stock trading. But I limit that as well, too, because you don't want to go all in on something.
Yeah.
There have been times in my past where I have, and it's either worked very, very well or it hasn't. Stocks, I used to invest a lot, but I stopped recently. About 3 months ago, I exited most of my positions, and then I kept the cash because I wanted to have some flexibility, although the stock market's gone up a lot since then, so I think I missed out a little bit. But yeah, I mean, in general, just try to hold things because if you're really confident about something, you should be making money like in the long term. That's like the hypothesis I had when buying a house. But I also realized in that process of holding that property, there's a lot of negative feelings. So I just don't want to do that. Whereas stocks, in things like crypto, yes, things go up and down. You might get a heart attack, right? But if you have long-term conviction, and the thing is, I love keeping up with what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
So the investments I make also reflect that interest.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Now that you're 31 and you have, you know, an income, you've saved an amount of money, what is something that you realize that you've been spending a lot of money on that you maybe used to not?
One thing used to be eating out a lot. I still do, but in moderation now.
Yeah.
I used to spend a lot on travel. I think anyone following me would see that I travel a lot, and I still do. I used to collect a lot of frequent flyer miles and points and use those to essentially travel for free.
I think we need a whole episode on that.
Yeah, sure, sure. But then the last year, I started just like spending cash instead of the points.
Okay.
I don't know why. I think it was just more like, oh, well, I just want flexibility. I don't want to like do all this research to try to save some money. But now I'm going back to it because I'm like, okay, that was not a good idea the last year. I suddenly spent much more than I should have.
Yeah.
I think like housing as well. Mm-hmm. I'm very lucky. I rent right now, and the landlord is quite enjoys my tenancy. I pay on time. I don't really create any fuss. And the rent I pay, it's probably higher than I probably could, but I get a lot of value out of it. So I'm very happy to do it. And compared to the market today, I'm getting a very good deal.
I think so too.
I'm very happy about that. Sometimes I'll like spontaneously spend big amounts of money on like things I definitely don't need.
For example?
Like a piece of furniture in my house. Do I need it? No. But I just really want it. So sometimes it's okay. Okay. Because if it makes you happy, fine, do it. I went to Japan a few weeks ago and we were shopping and my travel companion was like, oh, you should really buy this. And my first thing was like, no, like I don't need this. But then she kept pressuring me. I was like, oh my God, fine. I just bought it.
Really?
Because I was like, yeah, well, it's nice. But I didn't need it. I've only worn it once since then. And like,
why are you still influenced by it?
I know. So I was like really pissed off after that. Anyways, I don't actually buy fashion that often. So I was like, okay, fine. I will wear it for sure.
Yeah.
But did I really need it? Probably not.
Because
I also, if you come to Vietcetera's office or you see me, I'm almost wearing the same exact thing every day.
We can tell.
And I kind of like to keep it like that. Mm-hmm. So anything that's not what I usually wear, I just know I'm not going to wear it a lot. So if I spend more haiju on it or whatever, you're just not going to get a lot of value or happiness out of it.
Yeah.
Like this t-shirt that I'm wearing today, I get so much happiness out of it. And I spent haiju ngan, you know?
Yeah. I do the same thing. I don't particularly like go out and buy new clothes anymore, but I think the clothes that I have, I think it's just for the sake of convenience and not having to think about what to wear. All the t-shirts that I have in my closet are black, so it's not like I have to like having an existential crisis every morning about what I wear. What is the next like financial milestone that you have personally for yourself and also for Vietcetera?
Start with a company. So we do have certain revenue targets that are ambitious but very doable. Mm. And we know what actions we need to take. Like we've started building a CRM. I've said it for years, but this time we're doing it very collaboratively.
Okay.
We're getting make sure all the stakeholders and potential users are inputting into it. Mm-hmm. And we have version one of a very basic one.
Okay.
But it already has delivered value.
Whoa.
And so we're taking it step by step going into the new year. And I think that will allow us to unlock a lot of revenue opportunities. I think our targets increase revenue by at least 50% next year. Because this year we went down already. Mm-hmm. And we know exactly why. Mm-hmm. And going into next year, we're much better staffed. Not just in terms of people and quantity, but also in terms of resources. Like, how can this salesperson make the most out of their work? We're really thinking about how we arm them, not just are they good at sales. Mm-hmm. So that's at the company. And also in terms of profitability, we're much more strong about controlling the expenses, making sure that we're actually thinking about, okay, what goes in and what can come out. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think, yes, I'm going to clamp down on a lot of spending next year. Because I know it doesn't make me happy. Like going out to eat and drink, I'll do it because I do get enjoyment out of it, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean I should just go to the nicest places. Sometimes I just go get a pho.
Exactly.
You know, I'm totally cool with that. And sometimes I'll spend a little bit more on a bougie lunch. That's okay too.
Yeah.
But I do know that I do not enjoy like going out to drink. Like I'd rather, if I'm going to catch up with a friend like you on, I'd much more likely just schedule a coffee or a lunch on a weekend mm-hmm. than go out in the evening. I think in terms of other money goals, I want to sell my house. So I'll take some money off the table and kind of reinvest that. Mm-hmm. I do want to increase my income at Vietcetera. So Ooh. Believe it or not, I have to ask people. I can't just do it.
I was going
to
be like, is this where you just sit down with yourself in front of a mirror and talk to yourself?
No, I have to get approvals. So I have to talk to like CFO and stuff like that. Got but it. I have to actually prove why I deserve an income. It's not like a crazy long okay. extended talk, right?
Imagine I'm the CFO of yep. Vietcetera.
I have to be like, hey, you know, I think my income should increase like 10%. Here's why. Here's some of the added responsibility. Here's why giving that raise to will unlock more revenue for the company. Mm-hmm. And if I present it in a case to mm-hmm. her, like give my case to her, mm-hmm. then she'll be like, okay, I think we can make this work. And she'll probably suggest like, oh, it starts in March or something like that. Not before, because we're going to lose money,
yeah.
you know, something like that. I'm not saying I will do that, but I, within the year, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think those are some goals. Oh, one other thing, it's not about income, but I might start my own YouTube channel. Just like How Trans Channel, where I can talk
you
about
things
like this.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. I might. I already have two first videos I will develop with the team at Vietcetera. They'll help me.
Already?
Yeah, but we haven't actually produced it yet.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I'm planning to do it before that holiday. And the reason why I want to do it too is because, as you guys know, I'm speaking English right now. I can't really create a lot of content in Vietnamese. So I need to have my own little playground to create content.
Is it going
to
be in Vietnamese?
It'll be in English. By being in English, you know, unlocks different possibilities.
Okay.
And since we have a team at Vietcetera that knows me and knows how to produce good content, that might be a new portfolio of Vietcetera in the next 6 months, let's say.
Wow, okay.
But let's see.
Well, I personally am looking forward to that. Hao is always someone who, whenever I talk to him, will always be a lot of ideas and, you know, just new, like just a lot of brainstorming in general. And that's what I always appreciate about you is your drive and your motivation to do more, to be more out there and to make a name for yourself. And I think I see that drive from, you know, when you were still in SF to when you moved here and when I first met you in Vietnam up until now. I feel like that has always been like a constant. To have you on the show today as a friend, of course, and as someone that I used to work with has been lovely. I think the audience now will understand a little bit more about you, and we're looking forward to you sharing more about yourself through different channels and different opportunities. And thank you so much for being on the show today. Since this is gonna be the first episode of The Money Day in 2024, I think I wanna say Happy New Year to everyone that's watching and listening to the show. Thank you so much for your support in 2023. I think the show it's become something like way out of my expectation. It's become something much bigger than what we had planned for. And we're very excited for what's next for the show and what's next for Vietcetera as well. So yeah, Happy New Year. Wish you all a year filled with health, prosperity, as Vietnamese people usually would wish for, and happiness. Now I'll let Hao say his wishes for the audience.
I'll say in Vietnamese.
Sure, if you want to.
Yeah, thank you everyone for tuning in and supporting The Money Day and Vietcetera. And if you have questions for me, just drop them in the comments and I'll try to answer them later. And thank you for all your support and keep following The Money Day and An Chung as well.
Hẹn gặp mọi người trong các tập lần sau.